Assalamu alaikum. My name is Muhi Khwaja with the Muslim Philanthropy Podcast at American Muslim Community Foundation. Today, it is my pleasure to bring on Brother Anwar Khan from Obat Helpers USA. He is the founder and has been nominated as an outstanding nonprofit. So congratulations on the nomination and welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Brother Muhi. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
It is my honor and pleasure to be here and talking with you.
Likewise, I've heard about the work before and really excited to learn more about it. For our listeners, if you could please give some background about yourself and then share a little bit more about how you got to starting Obat Helpers.
Yeah, actually my background I will start with my parents. So basically my parents are from India, Indian state of UP. And they migrated to East Pakistan. And after 1971 war, we moved to Karachi, Pakistan. So that was basically a journey of migration from my parents from India to Pakistan and Pakistan to East Pakistan to West Pakistan and West Pakistan to the United States. Actually, my father passed away when I was very young, almost 5-6 years old. And I grew up in one northern city of East Pakistan, present Bangladesh. And when after Bangladesh, when we came to Karachi, Pakistan, I just have finished my high school in Bangladesh. And I get admitted in one of the college in Karachi and finished my intermediate, and then I get admission in NAD Engineering University. And I did my graduation in mechanical engineering. And I passed it in 1981. And after that, I started a couple of jobs and some consulting works in Karachi. And we moved to the United States in 1993. And 1995, we permanently moved to the United States, and I was start working with some of the Japanese companies. But in 1997, I joined General Motors, and this is one of the largest automotive industry. And I stayed with General Motors for 20 years till 2017. I retired from General Motors in 2017. So this is like my background, and I did my bachelor's from NAD, and then my master's MBA from Indiana Wesleyan University in early 2000. So coming back to the Obat Helpers and how it has been originated, what happened? So let me go back on the past. So as I told you that I have been in that part of the land, and I have gone through all the situation, I have seen the camps, the situation the people are living. But when we came to Pakistan and when I moved to the United States, I never thought about those people. I never think about them, that how they're living, are they still in the camps, are they outside the camp, what happened to them. It was until 2004. 2004 is the turning point of my life. It changed my priorities, it changed my vision, it changed my thoughts and everything around me. What happened that there was a magazine is coming at ISNA Horizon, and maybe you are aware of it.
Yeah, of course.
So there was an article published in that magazine, and the article is written by Dr. Sayyed Ismail. He's a PhD doctor from Hyderabad, India, and he went to Bangladesh for some reason, and he visited some of the camps, and he write his journey and the suffering and the problems and the issues, what is happening in the camps. And it was really such a bad experience for me while reading those things. I was shocked and I was feeling bad. First of all, I was shocked that I never thought that those people are still living in the camp after 35, 40 years. And the second thing, I was feeling bad that alhamdulillah, Allah has given us and so many things. We are so much blessed. I have everything, whatever you can dream it. And I have not even think about them. And it may possible that I used to live in those camps. My kids may be growing with the same cats that are presently living in the camps. So I was feeling so bad. And I actually sat down with my cats and my wife, and I discussed with them. And I told my cats that maybe we have to thanks to Allah, that Allah give us this opportunity. We are here. Otherwise, maybe you should be growing in the camps. So as a return of thanks to Allah, we should have to do something. So that was the basically initial starting point of the journey of Ubed. So then I called my wife and that why don't we invite some of my family friends, my brother, and sit down and let's see what we can do. So and Sharik was in that meeting too. So
Wonderful.
initially Sharik was basically he's our co-founder of Ubed Helpers. So we sit down together and we start thinking that what we can do. So what we decided that we'll adopt a family, and adoption means that we'll provide whatever the necessity of their life, like food, clothing, and if they need any help in education, all those things. The question raised that how we'll select the family. So they actually at that time I was planning to go to Pakistan to bring my mother back to United States. So everybody told me that since you are traveling to Karachi, why don't you just extend your travel and go to Dhaka and meet some of the families and select. So I take that responsibility. I said, okay, I will go. And in the meantime, we collected almost $1,700 to help that family. And I still remember very vividly that when I arrived Dhaka in July 2004, it was and July was basically this is the shutdown time for automotive industry. So normally this is the time I travel. So when I landed in Dhaka and next day I was visiting some of the camps, and the basic objective was that I will select a family. But unfortunately, I was unable to do that because every family I was meeting, I was thinking it is more deserving than the family I previously met. Even I'm having a list, and I have a very like a well-designed checklist with the point and numbering system that how I can select the family and all things. But I work in quality management, so I have a very good process I established. But the end of the day, after like interviewing 9 or 10 families, I was unable to decide. Then I extended one more day, 2 more days, and I was unable to select the family. And I have just $1,700 in my hand. Then I decided that why don't I go to the city where I grew up, and let's go to the camp. So maybe, and all these things happening is not true that I was doing that. I think that Allah is making my way. That how it was came in the magazine, and I got to it, and I read it, and then and something came in my mind, and then I was decided to go to that part of the city, part of the country, and I went there, and you will be surprised to know that was again a turning point of all the thought processes and what happened in that part of the camp. And I was visiting in that city, and city's name is Rangpur. So when I was walking through the camp, in front of a narrow street, there are a couple kids are standing there, and they told us that this lane is closed. So I asked them that what happened, why the lane is closed. So they told me in Urdu that amma log nahar rahi hain. I didn't understand that our mothers are taking shower, but I have no clue that what does this mean to bringing the keeping the kids in front of the lane with the shower. Then I asked someone that can you help me to understand. So they told me that there is a hand pump in the street, but there's no privacy bathroom across the hand pump. So when the woman's need to take a bath. And they put the kids on the both end of the lane, so nobody can travel, nobody can walk, so they can take the shower. When I heard that, as I told you, that it was really a paradigm shift for me. And I was thinking about our houses, the way we live.
Right.
And all those things. Sorry. So technically, I just sat down on the side on a rock, and I was just thinking. And I was again asking Allah to help me and give me a way that how I can help them. So the thing that came in my mind, that the money I have, why don't I use that money to make the privacy bathroom? So this will help not only one family, this will help almost 20, 25 families who are living in that like a street. So as soon as I decided, and Allah maybe guided me, and then I asked someone that, can I ask some contractor or engineer? So somebody came up, and just I'm making the story short, that the budget they gave me when I converted in dollar, it was $1,740. That you will be, I am really amazed that how Allah plans the things.
Right.
So I immediately gave that money to my friend who was with me there and said, okay, this is the money and you can go ahead and start working. And I was almost done. So I'm just thinking that, okay, my job is done. I brought the money and money is being used and I'm done here. Now let's walk back. But Allah has a different plan. So as I'm walking out of the camp, somebody called my friend from the back and they told me that some woman wants to meet me. And then I saw a couple older women are coming. One woman is like my mother. She came to me and she hugged me and she was putting her hand on my head and she was praying and giving dua. I told her that, mother, I'm not doing anything that big. I don't deserve these things. So she told me in Urdu that, tum beta, tumko khud pata nahi tum kya kar rahe ho. Or I still feel emotional when I hear about, think about that. So she told me that, beta, tumko khud pata nahi ki tum kya kar rahe ho. Hum log ye barson se khwahish thi ki Allah Taala koi izzat ki jagah deta jahan hum nana dona kar sakte. So I told her that inshallah that bathroom will be done very soon. So basically,
and if you can translate for the for the listeners,
what she was telling me, that, son, you don't know what you're doing, you have no idea, and this is our dream, that may Allah give us a place where we can take shower with dignity and pride. And we never had this opportunity in our life. But after this, we can do this. So when he finished her talk, then she hold my hand and she asked me that, beta, there is a lot of other problems in the camp. Do you want to see those? I cannot say no. So she grabbed my hand and started walking and showing me the bathroom, showing me the other problems, showing me the open sewerage, the like broken houses, houses without any roof. But the one of the major issue was that there was an open city sewerage was going through the camp, and it was so filthy that you cannot even stand there. And they used to live there, and there was no coverage on top, and you can see everything. And she told me that there was a 3 years old girl. She fell in this a couple months ago in the night. Nobody knows. And second day, her dead body was found. And she told me that, beta, can you cover this? Can you make this cover? Then I called the same engineer. And I asked him that how much it will cost. It is almost 150 feet long, 4 feet wide, and 6 feet depth. So to cover on the top with slabs, it would cost around $5,000. So I take this, I told her and the other women around me that I am not promising you, but I will try my best to arrange something that we can cover this open, filthy sewerage. And then I came back home. And when I was arrived at the airport and I was coming back home, my youngest daughter, Arisha, was there. And she asked me a question that, Dad, did you bring the picture of the family you adopted? Because this was an initial thought that we are going to adopt some families there.
Right.
So, but unfortunately, that was not the results from my visit. So I told her that, Beta, we have not adopted one family. We adopted so many families. I will show the pictures. I will show the clips and this and that. So moving to the next step, as soon as I came back, I know that I have to raise $5,000. It was around November of 2004. I sent an email to my friend, actually, who was from my energy university and a couple other professional friends. I told them that, okay, this is the project I'm going to do. And I went to Bangladesh, and this is the group of the people that are still living in the camps, and this is something I need to make. So I need $5,000. And out of $5,000, I already raised $2,500. I need $2,500 more. And you'll surprise to know that I sent this to like 15, 20 of my friends, and I got almost $20,000.
Subhanallah.
Subhanallah. So I have no clue that what I do with this money. So some of the friends, and they're in New York, and basically they're basically civil engineers. Most of them are civil engineers and running their own company. I told them and called them that, hey guys, we don't need that much money. So because some people send me 3,000 and more at one shot. So I'm sending you money back because I don't need this money. And I just need $5,000. And I already have 2,000 plus money in my hand. I just need that much money. So they told me that Anwar, we cannot do anything else in Bangladesh, in the camps. So I told him, yes, there's a lot of things need to be done. But the issue is that who will do it and how we can do it. So they told me, Anwar, you're the only one who can do it. Let's think about it, and let's move. So this is the another thing that as soon as I have that money in my hand, then I travel back again in December 2004. I also met, I have a meeting with U.S. Embassy in Dhaka that is organized by Senator Richard Lugar's office. And they actually, and I told them exactly that what we are going to do, because after 9/11, there's a lot of questions is around us, mm-hmm. that being in Muslim and helping in an Islamic country, how things go wrong. So
right.
So I have a meeting with the U.S. Embassy in Bangladesh, in Dhaka. They actually guided me a lot. And they told me that what is the best way, how to do, and all those things. So this was a starting point, Brother Moy. And when I start visiting the camps, initially we put focus on the food relief and other things, but slowly, very soon, we realized that this is not the way we can change, and they can uplift, we can empower these people. They will continue depending on us if we'll continue to provide them food and shelters and clothing. So we change our area of focus, and we totally start working on the development sector. And this was basically a change of process we had in 2005, end of 2005, We start changing, we start focusing on education, empowerment, training, leadership, a lot of different things. And alhamdulillah, at that time, some good people around me, like Dr. Sharik and a couple other people, they are continuously advising us that what is the best way to move forward.
This is really a transformational story, and I want to, congratulate you on, following your gut feeling and kind of taking this upon yourself to do something and make a difference, because, a lot of people may just read a story in a magazine and that's the end of it. But, you saw a purpose, you saw a need, you wanted to make a difference, and then you took it upon yourself to invite your friends and family to learn more and see what you could do. And they encouraged you to visit. So it's really inspiring to see how that journey transformed. And I just really quickly want you to share how now today OBAT Helpers is focusing on a few areas as well.
Yeah, thank you, Moy. And one other thing that I just want to add, that this is something, one of the reasons I start, obviously, it is thanks to Allah, but I think that I owe it. And this is a loan that I have to pay back. Regarding the present situation, as I was discussing earlier, that our major focus was education. Mm-hmm. And we have started this journey with $1,700. But presently, this year's budget is almost $1.8 million.
Wow. That's phenomenal.
And alhamdulillah, people are joining hand, organizations are joining hand. We are getting a lot of supports, help from different part of the world. And recently we started in 2017 helping Rohingya refugees also, because we have a very good network in Bangladesh, right, and volunteer force. But our major focus was basically youth, because what we decided that if we change and empower the youth, this will be change the entire community. And right. They may not need OBAT anymore. The youth will change their own surrounding, own area. So what we first started with improving their vision, their dream, their thought, their capacity building. And at the same time, looking at their career development. And presently, just for your information, that we are running almost 13 schools across Bangladesh, and we have tutoring centers, we have IT centers. In the IT centers, we are providing state-of-the-art computer trainings, and our kids are writing languages. They are getting certification programming like Scratch and Python. Our sixth, seventh grades are working on that. And there are a lot of other Bangladeshi organizations are providing us free education and training. And with the help of one organization in the United States, TTWF, we are also providing digital learning using the tablets. We recently started a smartphone homeschooling after COVID-19. Situation. So our education system is very smartly implemented, and we are changing the whole era. Because at one time, when you were asking a kids at the start, like 10 years ago, 15 years ago, 12 years ago, that what you want to be when you grow up, they have no examples around them. Their father was a rickshaw puller, their mother was working in somebody's home. So that was their dream. But if you are asked today, so they can tell you they want to be a scientist, an engineer, a pilot, an army, and this and that. Because they have the examples. Now, alhamdulillah, our kids from camp are doctors, they're engineers, they're MBA. And a lot of things are happening around, and people are getting out of the camp. They are living in the normal society. So this is the education area. And besides education, actually, one of the major goal and theme we had is basically how we can break the poverty cycle. So we have started one of the biggest program in microfinancing
Great.
in one of the area. And besides that, we are also providing a lot of skill development training, other trainings, women empowerment training, so women can start their own earning. So we are doing a lot of these things so we can break the poverty cycle. At the same time, health was also an issue because they don't have any health facilities and all those things. We are providing clinics. We have two clinics in two different cities in Bangladesh and one clinic in Rohingya camps. On average, we see daily almost 150 to 200 patients every day in
Wow.
all these three clinics. And besides that, we're doing a lot of others. Like recently, we have started a campaign for the people who are handicapped, because this is one of the very challenging thing. I just want to share you, Mohi, that unfortunately in the camps there are kids who are handicapped and nobody even know, because the parents, then they don't bring them out of the camp, and they have never been to the doctor, they have never been treated, nobody even know in the surrounding, because due to different reasons they didn't never bring out them from their house. So we are basically going house to house, finding those kids or the family or the like mentally challenged people who are, and providing all possible help and support. So we are doing a lot of other things that can make life better for the people who are living in the camps since last 50 years. And at the same time, I just want to let you know that Bangladesh government has given them now the right of voting, and they have the ID cards. So now
Wow.
these kids can get admission in the college, they can get a job. So things are moving in the right direction, alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. That's really fascinating to hear. And I'll encourage everybody to go to your website and learn more about helpers. This has been really great for me to learn more about your organization, and I'm sure all of our listeners have enjoyed hearing the transformational story and your work in helping alleviate and break the cycle of poverty in Bangladesh. So, Anwar Uncle, I want to say again, congratulations on the nomination for Obat Helpers, and we look forward to hosting you and everyone at our annual symposium, where we will be having our guest speaker, Hassan Minhaj, and hearing from seeing who will be awarded in each of the categories there as well. So thank you so much for your generosity and time.
Thank you so much, Mumbai. It's my pleasure and honor. Inshallah. See you. Keep us in your prayers.
I will. Assalamu
Yeah.
alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.